so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday. Well, it's your favorite time. Are you ready? It's Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We have our good friend Dr. Troy on the show every single month, and I know I told him when I saw him in my appointment the other day that I traveled to Atlanta for an event. And Dr. Troy has fans in Atlanta. So they started listening to the podcast. It's funny. First, they saw the blessings that I write on Facebook. Then they started to listen to the podcast. Then they got in, just fell in love with the show and started to listen to the live show. Then they found Dr. Troy. So I'm sort of beside the point now. But that's, I'm okay with that, really. I'll take second stage to you any day, Dr. Troy. But we are so excited. The phone lines are open. We do this every month. Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Take your questions and we would love to just give us as much information as you're able to. And we're, you know, he's not going to be diagnosing over the phone, so to speak, but he can give really amazing advice and just offer some encouragement and counsel as best we can on radio. So here we go. Here's the number 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or you can email Susie at myfaithradio.com. Email in with your question. We'll do our best to get to them. We also have a list of questions from last month that we didn't get to. So we're never with a shortage of questions, but we still want to help as many people as we can. So without further ado, I want to introduce our dear friend and get him going here. Dr. Troy Spurl is the CEO and founder of Synapse, a center for health and healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. His company is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and we will link up his practice on the show page today. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Susie. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure as well. So tell me this. What do you got for a verse today? What do you have for us?
Well, I've got 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear.
Wow.
Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Wow, I needed to hear that today. Thank you. Say more about that verse.
Well, for what we see with the work that we do, there is a definitive difference between people and how they heal when they're in a state of fear versus a state of love. When you're in a state of love, you just heal faster.
Wow.
Now, when I get into scripture, it means God's perfect love means so much more to me, and I can get a little emotional about it because it's what I'm here for, is to help people with healing, but it falls very short of what God's perfect love does.
Mm.
And so for me, I've seen a lot of people where fear has interfered with their healing process, where fear is dominating their life. And there's so much more that you can do. And in fact, from a scientific perspective, we know that people who are in a state of fear, literally their cells will fold up on each other. So what that does is their cellular membrane isn't as exposed to nutrients. So literally you don't absorb the same amount of nutrients that you would, versus people who are in a state of love, their cells are wide open. And so they absorb all the nutrients that they're getting. And people who are more in a state of love, it's harder for them to get sick. It really is. Especially think back to the teenage years and you've got all this stuff going on. Diet's probably a mess. You're in love. Life couldn't be better. And it's one of those scenarios. And so life happens and things get piled on you and piled on you and piled on you. And you don't start to feel that again until God starts to fill that hole. And so my job and many people's jobs out there is to help people, bring them to God so they can understand that perfect love is there for them and is part of the healing process.
That is so good, and there's so much more. We could spend an hour on that, Dr. Troy. And if you listen often enough, you know fear is something I have dealt with. And with this time that I've spent in the last over year now seeing you, this has been a giant Goliath in my life that I feel like, for the most part, has gone down. But it really hasn't been without some tenacious grit on my part going, I'm not going there. I mean, truly, Dr. Troy, you know, God loves us. We don't have to convince him to love us. And that perfect love will cast out fear. But we have a part somehow, some way of beholding fear or beholding the faith that his love's enough.
We have to. It's our. It's a choice for us. We have to declare it and choose it, but you have to do it moment by moment. You have to do it all the time. We have different scales of love, if you will, where there's a difference between agape love and the love for our child or the love for a neighbor or a brother or sister or a stranger. And so internally, that's reflected as well. And so what we know is probably, let me say it this way. A lot of times people think of courage being the solution to fear. And really, they wait for courage to happen. And it will never happen because we are uniquely made to be fearful. That is a part of our makeup. We're designed that way to survive. It's actually a survival mechanism.
There's a place for fight and flight,
there
right?
There is a place for it. And so that's what keeps us alive. So if you're waiting for courage to happen, it won't happen. It's a choice. The biggest problem we have is that we hesitate. Mm. And then the fear starts to build. When we instantly choose to just do or to have faith or to trust God or to take that leap, that's when the fear goes away. It's in that moment. So the hesitation is probably the worst habit you can develop.
Wow. And then in knowing that love is what I would think would give you courage, you know? So this might be one of those epic radio moments that I'll later regret, but I have to tell you about it. You'll know why in a minute. I know. Buckle up. So when I was in Baton Rouge, this event a couple weeks ago, this dear woman, I hope I can remember her story, but she had a heart defect. And I don't know if she'd had an open heart surgery, but it was a very serious issue and was maybe possibly looking at open heart surgery if certain things didn't settle down. And so she took some old tune and she wrote her own music to it and she sings to herself. And she came up and taught me. And so a little bit later in the event, I called her up in front of all these women. I'm like, teach all of us this song. So I'm going to sing it for you because I think, Matt, are you listening? I'm going to sing on the radio. So, but Dr. Troy, I need you to snap for me because I need a beat. Matt, okay. Can you snap too? Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. I'm so happy. I'm so well. Every little cell in my body is well. I'm so happy. I'm so well. Every little cell in my body is well. Okay, there you go.
Ooh.
Come on, people. I know you're covering your ears right now, but I had to sing it for you because you know what, Dr. Troy, she said she sings it to herself when she starts to feel her heart race and it settles her down. She was literally like on an echo or on a machine where they were testing her rhythms and they were going all over the place. She goes, do you mind if I sing myself a little song? And she sang and they're like, keep singing that song. It settled everything down. But she said, Susie, I'm telling you, there's something about speaking to my cells and telling them that they're happy because I'm happy in Jesus because I'm loved by him. And I'm like, oh, my word, I got to go tell Dr. Troy.
Yes.
What do you think?
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's that's just the creativity for her to do that. That helps. We know that there's actually a physiological reason of how that happens, too. Hmm. So I love that. That's application of God's word right there. Mm-hmm. She's basically doing it in a very creative way. And our ripe creative brain, basically, when people, it starts with fear, but it turns to worry, and then they feed off each other. And really, fear and worry is just a misuse of your imagination.
Wow. Fear and worry is just a misuse of your imagination. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah. It really is, because if
amazing.
We start to use our creative brain for something else other than fear and worry, you can't have both at the same time. Mm. So when you're giving God the glory and you're doing it in such a brilliant way as she did, I mean, that's healing. Mm. I'm telling you right now, people, when they do things like that, they will start to feel better. They were measuring it with the heart rate and rhythm, heart rate in particular for the right brain. That is functional medicine. That's what they do now. That's what they're looking at. And we're seeing that as I was studying a lot of this brain and neurology and the body and functional medicine, it was a lot of these truths that I had learned in my own life and then in scripture that I ended up using clinically to help people.
Absolutely.
And it's stuff
amazing.
We can teach each other. And when we take responsibility for our life and our health that way, who knows what God's going to put on your heart to be creative, to help yourself and then other people. I absolutely love that.
Oh, I'm so glad. I was hoping you would sing with me, but maybe next time. I'm sure if I've traumatized you by my voice, you just sing to yourself and you'll get over it. So, okay. So I read this in another book, and correct me if I'm getting the, because I read it a while ago, about the neuroplasticity of the brain and how the gray matter is your logical side. And if I remember right, this author said that you're basically, your brain, your logical side will snap 5 to 10 pictures a second. Like, so if you're faced with a situation, your logical snap off, you know, 10 kind of freeze frames a second, where your white matter is the trainable side that really responds to your repetitive thoughts. And it's really, that's where, you know, the sky's the limit, so to speak, on where you go with your thoughts. It reflects 200 times that. So if you were to think of it as screenshots, that the white matter is reflecting 200 times faster than the gray matter. So even if you are logical, your emotions will get there before your logic does. So if you're very triggerable and thinking constantly wrong thoughts, anxious thoughts, you're going to get there emotionally before you get there logically. Am I explaining that all right?
Well, maybe.
Correct me completely because I want to make sure I understood this.
I know that there's a difference between the gray and the white matter as far as the speed and the translation. There's a left brain, right brain as well that's involved. There's an amygdala and different parts of the brain. So it's a little more complex than that, but the idea is still the same. If you generally speaking, there, it's all about communication within the brain. And so the speed of the frequency of firing of those nerves plays a big role in it, number one. But also it's important to know that our emotions are right in the middle part of the brain. Mm. And so the amygdala in particular that deals with fear and love, it's on right in the middle on both sides. And so it's intricately connected to all of our sensations. And so that's why you can smell a smell and think instantly of your grandmother if you smell cookies baking in the kitchen, and all of a sudden you see your grandmother in picture in your head. So the emotions are very much there, and some people will learn to tune those out, and some people won't. And I will say this, men are more linear when it comes to that, and women have multiple inputs that will stimulate and trigger that. That's why, generally speaking, women have a better intuition than men, but men are more logical because of they're able to process things differently. But we're beautifully made that way to balance each other out. Mm-hmm. It works well. So the emotions are always a part of it, and certain times that can get magnified, and certain times it's not. So we have actually quite a bit of control over it as far as our thoughts, and that's why we're told to guard our thoughts, because the more negative thoughts you have, there's positive and negative neurotransmitters in the brain which actually can inhibit or excite the different areas. So your brain is like a muscle. The more you exercise that part of the brain, the bigger and more dominant it gets. So if you're having negative thoughts, you're basically exercising the pathways that promote more of that negative output and outcome.
Interesting. Okay, when we come back, with that in mind, I want to talk about just the images that we put before us. You know, when you think about, you're scrolling through the TV and you look at the entertainment that we're celebrating these days, that people are paying money to expose themselves to, what is that doing on our impressionable brain, and how does that impact our health and our overall just outlook on life? It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. If you've got questions, we'd love to hear those from you as well. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, and we'll be back in a minute. Pick that bumper, Matt did, and my hat is off to you, Matt, because we are happy in Jesus. So glad you tuned in. I mean, the wheels have come off now today. I'm super excited about that. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We have our good friend, Dr. Troy, in studio, as we do every month, for Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We welcome your questions. I see a few of you have called in. If you're too shy to be on the air, just let Aaron know. He'll write it in the board, and we will get to these questions in a moment. 877-933-2484. But what we started to talk about before the break is this idea of the impressionability of our brain, that our brain does... There are consequences to our repetitive thought patterns. That's what I was trying to say. I just didn't do it very well. But the idea that there's consequence to where we go over and over again. Given that, let's talk for just a moment about the impact of the entertainment. And this isn't meant to be a legalistic thing at all, but there are consequences to what we let get in us. And I just would love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, what we know is that just like what you were saying, that when we get constant stimulus, it will eventually become plastic in the brain. What that means is our nervous system is very flexible, and then once you do things over and over and over and over again, it becomes hardwired. And so when something's hardwired, it is harder to change. And so ways of thought, habits become harder to change once it's more hardwired, and you have to make something that counteracts that more plastic. And so when we look at things that are on entertainment, now there's a lot of stuff. I will always say laughter is the best medicine. It really is good. So laughing, being entertained is important. But when you constantly are seeing things that evoke that fear response or worry response or something that goes against your current beliefs in some way, shape, or form, that's triggering a stress response internally.
Wow.
And we know many people who teach about just being successful in life, they'll always say that you're the average of the 10 people you hang with. And that's not just your friends. There was a very good study years ago that showed that when they took two groups of people and they switched their friend groups, one was into hiking, mountain biking, very athletic and hung with that crowd. He went with a switched lives with a gentleman who was more their biggest activity was bowling, and they were beer drinking, pizza, and lots of laughter, lots of fun and everything. So they switched groups. And an amazing thing happened. The one gentleman who was in the bowling group, he lost 30 pounds in just a few months hanging with these other people. And the other guy gained 15 pounds just being with this other group. And it's our habits and stuff that we pick up from who we're hanging with. And so in a lot of my conversations, I also say it's not just the people you're hanging with, but the voices that you're hanging with, the entertainment stuff that's coming from you. And my question is, what if one of those 10 people were Jesus instead of these other things that we're seeing or hearing with the media and maybe some of our negative friends? And it's important to know who you're hanging with and that there's an influence on your brain, on how your brain communicates with your body, what hormones are released. You will have increased sugar and salt cravings when you have a stress response.
Really?
Yes, it's true.
Wow.
And so you will see a lot of challenges with what you're eating. It's harder to stick to a diet that's good for you when you're surrounded by challenging things that are causing stress without even knowing they're stress.
Isn't that why you'd spend $50 on a bucket of popcorn at a movie?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. I'm just saying. I mean, really, suddenly, like, I'm craving salt and sweet, and I'll cut my right arm off to have it, it seems. Anyway, let's pause and take Frank's call from South St. Paul. Hey, Frank, you're on the air with Dr. Troy.
Yes. Thank you, Susie. Mm-hmm. This is Frank. And my question today pertains to I heard recently about an amino acid called L-arginine, which is supposed to have an effect on improving the circulation in the body. And this product is available through a time-release capsule. I'm wondering what you think about the efficacy of that is, and if there are any other food supplements that might be especially beneficial for us who are getting on in our years.
Thank you, Frank.
Yeah, great question. I love L-arginine. It's something we use specifically for heart and cardiovascular health. So we use that in our clinic. One of the other things that you will find is especially if cholesterol is an issue, or now they're starting to get into a little bit more depth of testing the different types of cholesterol. LDL is the bad cholesterol. HDL is the good cholesterol. You definitely want to keep that balance, but we now are looking at the lipoproteins as well. There's ApoB and a series of other ones. as we age, there's two things that help quite a bit with other than L-arginine that I like that specifically help with the genetic cholesterol components. Because a lot of times when you go in, there are they say that you have to be on a statin because you have the genetic form of cholesterol, which for some people is very true. Statins will save their life basically with what it does for the cholesterol. But I love niacin. In particular, vitamin B3, because that helps as well for a lot of the cholesterol. There are natural statins like red rice yeast extract that can help lower the cholesterol part as well. But cholesterol is just one part of the heart conversation. Antioxidants are needed. And believe it or not, one of the most important things that you can do for your heart and your circulation is fiber, making sure you're getting consistently good fiber in your diet and making sure the bowels are moving just really nice. It really does help quite a bit with the heart and the vascular system and staying active. If you stay moving and keep delivering that beautiful oxygen to your muscles, then your heart actually loves that. So the heart really responds and repairs to antioxidants, and specifically L-arginine and niacin are two highlight supplements that work very, very well for cardiovascular.
Frank, thanks so much for that call. We've got about a minute before we go to our hard break, and I'm going to take this question. Just kidding. I'm going to take a portion of it because I play a doctor on radio. This anonymous caller said, what is the acronym for POTS? Something to do with heart rate. Before you say it, I think I know this. Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia Syndrome.
I didn't even know that. I think she's right. Yes.
Thank you very much. So literally, Dr. Troy, which I'm not, Dr. Troy is going to address POTS when we come back. Actually, the reason I knew that is my son had it when he was young. He would get up and he would pass right out. So Postural Orthostatic Tachycardia. We're going to take a break there. That's a mouthful. Got a couple emails coming in, a few other questions as well, but we'd love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie at myfaithradio.com. Linda from AR is Arkansas, right? Linda from Arkansas. I'll get your email on the other side as well. Back in a minute. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great time with our good friend, Dr. Troy. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We love to do this once a month. Take your health questions. We just want so much for you to be healthy. I'm telling you what, you show up differently in your relationships, in your work, and just even, I think, even in your walk with God, when you're contributing to your own health. And there's personal responsibility involved here. We're in such a day and age where we want to take a quick pill and just get everything go away. But it takes a while to get messed up, and we've got to take some responsibility to get healthy again. So this anonymous caller, let me give the phone number first, 877-933-2484. This anonymous caller said, what is the acronym POTS? It's something to do with heart rate.
Yes, the tachycardia syndrome. A lot of times, it's a lot of teenagers usually that get it, mm-hmm. younger kids, and there's an area of our brain that measures the blood pressure in our head and our body, and sometimes it can be off a little bit. So a lot of the symptoms are things like sometimes they pass out, faint, sometimes it's just a feeling of weakness. And so we've had many, many people come in, and sometimes they come in wheelchairs. It can be that bad because they're that weak. And I'll share some very common findings. Number one, I have found almost all of the kids that come in with it have had some level of dehydration, pretty severe dehydration. Wow. And so you have to make sure, first and foremost, that there's you're drinking enough water, the teenagers are. If there's any excess things, sometimes teens, that's when they get into, nowadays especially, the caffeinated energy drinks or coffee, or they're using things to stimulate themselves to stay awake, caffeine pills, stuff like that, to actually get through their studies. So we're seeing a lot of that, unfortunately. And what we do is hydrate them first. And once we help them with that part of it, getting the hydration levels up, then you have to see if there's a disconnect in that area of the brain. Now, here's an interesting thing that'll tell you if the brainstem is a little bit abnormal. If they have an absent gag reflex or a hyper gag reflex, that's a sign that there's a challenge. If they can't gargle or they choke when they go to gargle, that's a sign. Or when they just say, ah, and you look in there and the palate is kind of deviated off to one side, then that's a general sign of the nerves not firing to the muscles properly, which means it's not regulating the blood pressure change between the head and the body. There's always a reason for that. Generally speaking, it's not severe, so it can be fixed. It may go away on its own. I always tell people, start with the hydration, fix the digestive system. If there's something wrong with the digestive system, or if you push and palpate around, there's some tenderness there, you may have to fix it. Sometimes it can happen after head injury, concussions, which means that has to be addressed. And again, a lot of physical therapists, chiropractors have success with POTS just by reestablishing the upper neck and head area as far as the muscle feedback, only if the dehydration part's been taken care of.
Interesting. Wow, very good. Okay, so this dear listener, Linda from Arkansas, writes, I'm 63 years old. For several years, I followed an eating plan that's heavy on vegetables, light on lean meats, no wheat, very little dairy. 2 months ago, my husband had a heart attack and has two stents. He'd not been a healthy eater, but is serious about making changes. The hospital doctor recommended a Mediterranean-type diet. A few days later, his general practitioner called, wanted him to do a total plant-based diet, forks over knives. Excuse me. We've been doing the vegan plan, but I do not feel great, and I've gained a couple pounds because I fear I've eaten too much bread and carbs as part of that plan. We were also told that we would need to get B12 shots on the plan. Now I'm totally confused, and we've gone back to my eating plan. Would love Dr. Troy's thoughts on vegan. Thanks. I love the show. Linda, glad to have you listening. What do you say, Dr. Troy?
Yeah, see, this I feel for you because both your doctors are right. they really are. And the reality is my healthiest patient is a vegan. Mm. My most unhealthy patient is a vegan. So you have to find the diet that works for you. And so a vegan diet, here's my, I love a vegan diet, except for the carb component of it can get out of control or out of balance. So you have to really pay attention to that for yourself. So if you've gained weight, you feel a little bit worse for yourself, then I think you go back to the diet that was working for you. Now, when it comes to your husband, it's very, very important to get a more in-depth cholesterol study. You don't want to get just the standard study. You want to get the lipoproteins assessed. You want to get the breakdown of the LDLs and the oxidized LDLs. Highly, highly likely that he needs to stay away from the saturated fat of meats, but there might be a need for other fats like fish oils and things like that. So the Mediterranean diet is really high in the omega-3 fish oils, lower on the carbs. So my guess would be your husband would need the plant-based diet would work for him better with fish oils and other fats. But if you get the exact breakdown of the cholesterol panel with the lipoproteins, all the markers, C-reactive protein is another one, different markers of heart inflammation and heart health, if you will, or blood vascular health, that will help you determine what level of saturated fats he should get versus unsaturated fats. And my guess is he would do well on either one. For you, I like your initial diet. If you start with your initial diet, just make sure he's getting the antioxidants, the fruits, the vegetables, and then the omega-3 fatty acids are very, very important. So you have to, without doing an assessment or anything like that, you have to have something to go by and measure. So for you, you're going by weight, your weight gain and how you feel. For him, it's got to be some lab work or something that you can go off of to say, is this working? Is this not working?
Excellent. Thanks for that. Okay, we've got Kathy. She says, I have sun sensitivity. And it's very profound. It started after I was anorexic in college. in 1989, and I've had it ever since. I'm allergic to sunscreen also. What happens is I get a terrible red rash that looks like sunburn, but it's not, and it itches and will get worse. I take prednisone to get rid of it. Thoughts?
Yeah, so with an eating disorder like that, there's a lot of challenges with your skin. Your skin's your largest immune organ, and you need very, very important antioxidants for that. But one of the things that I've found is that with challenges in that realm, it's usually, again, around healthy fats. Now, this one in particular, I don't know if you use coconut oil, but I would highly recommend the use of coconut oil, and it'll take I'm probably going to say closer to 6 years. But if you start using coconut oil and cooking with coconut oil, your skin will start to be healthier as it relates to the exposure to the sun. And you have to make sure you're drinking lots of water and you're sweating. So we want to make sure that the water is flowing through you. But skin health is very, very important. Antioxidants from fruits and vegetables are very much needed. And then getting the actual fat built up under the layer of the skin is very, very important. And I know all women love to hear that our goal here is to increase your fat underneath the skin. But it's not a lot. It's hard to even see it. But I'll tell you this. I have people, including myself. I used to be one of those. I've got Irish-Scottish heritage in me. And I used to get out in the sun and I'd burn just right away, you know. It's like instant burn there.
Yes, I love it.
Instant. And so I started adding the coconut oil in years ago. My wife, I can thank for that. And I don't burn anymore and I actually tan. And I would say it took about 3 years for me. And
interesting. Yeah. Why does that work?
Well, if you think about because it builds up the layer of fat underneath our skin. Mm. And so there's oils there, and it keeps our skin in a good state to handle the sun directly.
Wow.
When your skin gets dehydrated, you don't get the fluid there, either the oil or the water, that's when you get in trouble. So you burn. So when you have these oils, you don't burn as much. And we see that with people, you know, if you grew up in Hawaii and you have that heritage, you don't burn like us people who go to Hawaii for a vacation. And it's because a lot of their diet has that coconut has for generations had that coconut in there. So now we know that just by our myofascial challenges, if you don't get the myofascial balanced, and that includes the layer of fat underneath the skin, then your skin health is not all there. And my skin's getting healthier as I'm getting older versus the opposite. And that's one of the reasons.
Wow, he doesn't even have one wrinkle.
That's a lie.
Maybe I need my eyes checked because I can't see him from here. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Jen is checking in from Milltown, Wisconsin, wants to know about the effectiveness of EMDR in regards to overcoming trauma.
Yeah, it is one of many things out there. And so it is effective for many people. So you have to try it and see how well it works for you. Part of what I lecture about in the country is a technique that I developed that resets the physical implications of stress. And we use eye movements too. And a funny story is that I didn't know about EMDR, and we went to file a patent for the work that we were doing. And we thought we were so smart and everything, and we were setting off for the patent all the information. And part of that is to do a search on anything that's similar. And I thought there's nothing similar, and found that EMDR was out there, and that's existed since the 70s.
Wow.
And so it stands for eye movement desensitization, EMDR restoration, I think. But they use eye movements and tapping and stuff, and it does help to reset. And one of the things that we found in our research was that the area of the brain that sets the tone for muscles and emotions, when it communicates with the area of the brain that deals with memory, muscle memory and emotional memory, it can start to reset your physical reactions to that memory. So I like it. It works well for many people, and there's value there, and it's a tool in the toolbox.
Good way to put it. And I've got a few different friends who have just had things kind of catch up with them with health kind of things and realized they had old trauma and they just were stuck and couldn't get unstuck. And that was one thing that their counselor brought them through. And they really attribute moving to the next place to that
Yep.
Practice. So very, very interesting. Let's see if we can squeeze in one more question here before we take the break. Let's see here. Jeff from Duluth, what does Dr. Troy think about radiation from cell phones, laptops in regards to our health and cancer? I know we touched on this in a past show, but say what you will.
Yeah, these electronic devices all give off electromagnetic frequencies is what it's called. So it's not the same as radiation, but it's a same conversation as far as what it can do to you. And some people are more sensitive. So we actually test for that. And it is it's relevant to many people who are suffering. So the people who are impacted more by this are people who are already at a certain level of health that is challenged, that's affected in particularly the nerves of their cranium and their head. So we do see this. I see this a lot with pilots and people who work in the airline industry who are in airplanes all the time because there's electric circuits all around them as they're traveling. And so there are things that you can buy. They are real things. You can actually go to Home Depot and get a gauze meter, which measures EMFs. And so you can go in there and just click on the button for the gauze meter. And when your microwave's on, you'll see how far out those fields go. And sometimes it's 12 inches. We turned one on and measured it out 4 feet, which means that it's – when it gets those EMFs get sent out there, it disrupts how your electrons are vibrating around the atom of your cells. So one exposure, not a big deal, but a decade of exposure is a big deal. This is why they now put these things around the power lines, because they found that people were having higher rates of leukemia who lived under power lines. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, we now know that the electrical current will cause these electromagnetic frequencies around. It's basically a force field around it. And if we are in that force field, it'll disrupt our normal cells' behavior to the point of causing a cancer in that case. And there's a lot of unknowns there, but in the direction we're going, it's going to be very, very important, because I think in many, many years, we're going to be talking about pollution, not just in our waters and in our air, but in the electromagnetic spectrum, stuff we can't see right now.
Wow. Interesting. Talking to Dr. Troy, we're going to take a quick break here. I see you, Rob, from Roseville. We'll get your call right after the break. It's just a short one. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Would love to hear from you if you've got a question. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute.
It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet, so move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, move, keep walking, until the morning comes, move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving on, and lift your head, it ain't over yet, it ain't over yet.
I love that song because it's such a charge for us to keep marching, keep moving, lift our head, it ain't over yet. And I love this one line. He says, I can lift your head, but I can't get you to look. You got to decide to what you're going to look at, right? Well, I'm so glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise, talking to Dr. Troy, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We've got him in studio again to answer your questions. Don't feel embarrassed by your questions. And if you are shy about getting on the air, just tell Aaron what your question is or call in anonymously. 877-933-2484. That's a toll-free call. We've got Rob checking in from Roseville. Hey, Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, Susie and Dr. Troy. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey.
I'm calling on behalf of my dad. His triglyceride to HDL ratio is close to a 9. His total cholesterol number is only around 200, but I was wondering what I could suggest to him to change in his diet and his lifestyle to help him get that ratio down. He also has high blood pressure.
That's the perfect scenario for what I was kind of talking about before as far as the fiber. So with that scenario, you can almost take the bank that the breakdown of carbs versus fiber is out of balance. So too many carbs that don't have fiber. And so pulling out the sweets, the breads, the alcohol, sweets, breads, those types of things, just decreasing the carbs. And then HDLs will increase with exercise and niacin also will help with that. But fiber is another component that'll really help with both those scenarios, especially with the high blood pressure as well. Now, there may be other factors involved. Usually there is when it comes to a ratio like that. And there's a few other things you can do to drive the HDLs up, like exercise, low aerobic exercise. He's got to be consistent with it. That works with his breathing pattern. But you want to get to a point of just being out of breath. But it's not the intensity that matters as much as the frequency and being consistent with it. So those are the three things I would focus on first, especially if he's known to like his sugar or something with sugar in it. We've got to decrease those carbs. And I will have people track that for a week so they can see where they're at. He should be, with those levels, we want to stick to around 100 grams of carbohydrates a day, and you want to try and get 20 grams of fiber a day. So that ratio, when they look at that in the diet associated with it, they'll realize how far removed they are from that usually. If that's not the case, then there's something else going on that has to be addressed. But that would be my first first place to start.
Wow. Quick question. Why? I love the consistency idea, but is an extreme taxing workout for somebody with those numbers actually kind of dangerous? Or what's the benefit?
It can be, okay, just simply because the heart, HDL helps protect the heart against the bad cholesterol. Mm. And so his protection's down. So you're more prone. That scenario generally means that there's not the antioxidant protection and the blood vessels may be in trouble already, especially with high blood pressure. So you have to ease into it and make sure that you don't overdo what the heart can handle or the blood vessels can handle. With that scenario, there's a lot of factors we don't have. Like the cholesterol might be 200, but if he's on a cholesterol lowering medication, there could be other underlying factors as well. So if he's not on a cholesterol lowering medication, then it's simply just a diet and lifestyle thing usually. So just multiple factors, and it's easier just – the turtle wins the race always. So it's just better to get into the lifestyle component and
– get some new muscle memory.
Get some new muscle memory. And mm-hmm. I always tell people, I want you to get into routine that where the doctor's happy and you're happy, where you say, I could do this the rest of my life, and the doctor's saying, yes, we're seeing what we need to see. Mm. When you can get into a routine where both those two rules are satisfied – you're good, and you just found your healthy lifestyle.
Boy, there's so much more I want to ask you about that. All right, we got Christy from St. Louis Park. And I think we've got probably 5 minutes to get to the top of the hour, so hopefully we can tackle this in that time. Christy, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling about my husband. He has AFib problems and wants to know if there's anything that is natural. He's on some medications already. Mark, what do you want? Eliquis. And he would like to know if there's anything natural. I told him some of the previous information that you gave. I hope you can repeat some of those. I remember you said something about red yeast, something, pills, and Allergen or something like that. Anyway, I'm hoping you'll repeat some of that. So, because I was driving when I heard all this, and I couldn't write it down. So but those are basically two questions.
Sure. AFib is actually a different conversation than the cardiovascular conversation I was having before. So cardiovascular health is basically how healthy is the heart, the lining of the heart, the blood vessels, that type of thing. And what you were talking about is L-arginine and red rice yeast extract are two things. Red rice yeast extract is a natural statin. So if you get the lab panels where it shows that a statin is indicated, then red rice yeast extract is a natural statin. And it is still a statin. So you still have to look at the side effects of the medication statin. It won't be quite as significant because it's not as potent or strong, but you still have to take that into consideration. So always start that with just the knowledge that it acts like a regular statin. L-arginine and fish oil are very, very good. When it comes to AFib, though, that's actually a challenge with the rhythm of the heart itself, which is more of a neurologic scenario. And the health of the heart, lining of the heart matters. There's nodes on the heart that receive the stimulus or signal from the nerves, and that will help when that's working properly. That's when we have a normal rhythm. Now, you can influence the rhythm itself outside of that. So what I'm going to talk about are some natural things to look for that can be brought into it. It can be very, very complicated. Just make sure you continue to follow up with your medical doctor and follow their advice on it. And hopefully there's been no cardioversion or anything else like that that's needed. But one of the things you want to do is look at if there's pressure on your diaphragm in particular. Many times you'll look at natural, you know, coughing and things like that, and people will be in AFib and then they'll have a coughing fit and it'll go away. Well, the reason is because of the connection between the diaphragm itself and the nerves that are regulating the heart. So when you have something in spasm or something wrong elsewhere in the body that you don't know about, that might be contributing somewhat to the AFib. It may or may not. But here's a general rule of thumb. If there's sleep apnea involved and there's problems with the airway and the even tension in the upper neck or swelling, that can contribute to AFib, so you have to work on the sleep apnea. If there is digestive problems or there's a bit of a belly there where you have a lot of pressure up at the top of where the diaphragm is, that can contribute to AFib as well. And just getting the pressure off of that, losing some weight can help quite a bit with that. So when it comes to AFib, there's not necessarily a pill to take, but L-arginine, red rice, those are two good things. Niacin and fish oils are also good things to help with that. Getting an in-depth cholesterol evaluation where they look at the lipoproteins is what you want to look for to make sure that those are all in balance. And then the oxidized LDL. If oxidized LDL is too high, then you really need to work on the antioxidant side of it. So those you have to do twofold with AFib. You have to help with the lining and heal the heart and blood vessels themselves, but also help with the regulation of the nerves that can fire to that area. The brainstem that controls that is also affected quite a bit by different blockages or problems in the digestive system, including if there's gallbladder issues or spasms down lower intestines. All those can play a role.
Wow. Thank you for that. Thank you so much for that call. We're getting ready to wrap up hour one. And so up for hour two, we'll take a few more of these questions. We'll take a lot more of these questions. And one of the things I want to set up for hour two, just because I see a couple questions coming in about exercise and weight loss, let's talk about some healthy practices for weight loss and what maybe isn't healthy. Because again, I think we like a quick fix. And my favorite joke, and it's a true story, but my husband went on Nutrisystem years ago, and they deliver a whole big box of food all at once. It's a month's worth of food, and it was in our entryway. And he looked at the box and said, "I'll get her done in a week." I just think that's so funny. It wasn't the goal, of course, but anyway, maybe you'll get that later. All right, another hour up with Dr. Troy. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. You can keep the calls coming. I see a few anonymous calls that I promise you we'll get to those calls that are up on the board here. 877-933-2484. Don't go away. Hour two is up next. We'll